This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan. By the way, 1 year ago today, or 1 year ago tomorrow, the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks played a game six. Jalen Brunson, 41 points and 12 assists. Trust Jalen Brunson. Joining us right now live in studio, former NFL veteran. He played with the Kansas City Chiefs. He played with the San Francisco 49ers. Washington, I think they were still the Redskins at that point. I can't remember.
Both.
They were both. Oh, so you played for the Redskins and the football team.
And the Washington football team. Yep.
That is Alex Smith. Alex, thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, fellas. Good to be in. Good to be in a studio in person.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome to see you. Yeah. How you feeling?
Good. I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so lucky. Like, I mean, the fact that, like, yeah, I mean, I'm walking around. I don't feel like there's anything I can't do, you know, for the most part. Most part pain-free, which we'll get to is why I'm here. But, yeah, man, I got my kids. Like, it's fun. I'm enjoying the off-season right now, being a dad mostly. Yeah, life is good.
Yeah, you played quarterback, and I played running back. But when I retired, I said to myself, I want to be able to play with my kids as I get older.
Yep.
Can you run? Can you like run around? Can you do all those things? Because we all remember your injury and how devastating it was and felt and could have been for your career. And obviously you came back and played, but like, can you do all those things?
Yes. You know, it looks different. It looks different. Yes, I can. And then when I had to play with a brace, I have drop foot permanently amongst a bunch of other things. And so if I wanted to, like, I would strap up this carbon fiber brace, and it looks a lot better than when I'm running. But you know what? For the most part, like, no, I don't have to wear much, and I get around, and I, like, the human body is amazing, and, you know, the ability to adapt, compensate, right, like other stuff. You get better and better, and, you know, especially I think it takes more time than you think. Like, I feel like I'm stronger now. Like, listen, I'm better now than when I played, without a doubt. Stronger, faster. Like,
I
could do more. Yeah. For sure.
Well, you were holding back.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm saying at the end. not when I was 25.
I gotcha.
So you're saying if the Jets have to give you a call week 7, week 8, you can give us a few weeks?
I mean, I one time, one game.
One game.
I could go do it, but no, don't call me.
Right. You don't want the hits.
No.
You know, one of the things that we talk about with injuries, and this is everybody, you know my brother.
Yep.
He just had that disability evaluation.
Yeah.
And you have to score like a 9
yes.
to get disabled. And that's all things, joints, knees, shoulders, elbows, all that stuff.
Yep.
He scored a 21, which means he's basically disabled. And they kept asking him about pain.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, I just have a good pain tolerance, or I have a high pain tolerance. Yeah. But pain is one of the big things that former athletes, particular football players, go through. Even if you're healthy, you're going to go through some level of pain. Tell us about Vertex Pharmaceuticals and what you're doing with them, because, I mean, I think it's changed you and changed your life and can help others as well.
No doubt, and I think that's the thing I've really liked about opening up about my journey. Certainly my recovery and my injury, as crazy as it was, but like you said it, You know, the funny thing is, it's not just a certainty for football players. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a certainty for everybody, right? Like, when you think about it, like, everybody deals with pain, right? Like, it is a part of the human experience. And yet, and you know this, like, it is a conversation that is taboo, right? Like, it's often an afterthought. Like, when you have an injury, like, orthopedically, I was on every step that I had to do physically, but at the end, you just got discharged with some pain meds and, like, sent to go home. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a, like, one size fits all. There weren't many options. And again, there's a lot of stigma around it. And certainly for us, you try to be tough, right? You're going to tough it out. And it just doesn't have to be that way, right? And it shouldn't be that way. And so, yeah, pumped to partner with Vertex to kind of change the narrative around this again, because it's such a universal experience. And yet it's so personal,
right?
It affects how you're a dad, how you go to work. Like, certainly if you're playing, or, like, again, how I'm as a husband and how I engage with my community, right? Like, it affects everything. And it's not a matter of if, but when. Just empowering people. Like, I wish I could go back and talk to myself, right? Like, have these conversations. Mm. There are no dumb questions. Ask your doctor about the options out there, right? Like, have these develop a plan for you, right? Because, again, it is so personal. And trying to change that narrative around that for anybody dealing with pain. And if anybody's out there and, like, needs some help, go check out the website, paingameplan.com. There's a bunch of resources on there. Again, ask your doctor about other options. Again, we all know some of the consequences of some of this stuff. Like, I went home from the hospital with a rescue med, right?
Wow, because what does that mean?
I had so many, opiates that, like, and that was the only option. Like, my wife was given a rescue med to go home because, like, in case something happens, and we were scared to death, and, like, she keeping everything under lock and key.
Dude, that would have terrified me, dude.
Yeah,
I'll feel the pain for months.
To your point, like, that's the alternative,
right?
You hit the nail on the head. Like, that's the alternative, and yet. Then I'd be asleep. I wouldn't be asleep. I'd be lying in bed at night, like, in pain, can't get through a night's sleep. And those are your options, right? Like, and that's just not the case. And again, there's more options out there. Ask your doctor. Go find out what works for you. You know, and again, like, why is it, like, why is it taboo? Like, it shouldn't be. Again, like, this is something that we all deal with.
Right.
And when you're in it, like everything takes a back seat. No, it's like, true. Again, it's debilitating and overwhelming.
Even like Evan, you had back issues.
Well, I got hit by a taxi while riding my bike.
Back pain is so bad.
Yes.
Oh, you can't even, like, roll over. You can't sneeze.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. And then it comes and goes out of absolutely nowhere.
Yep.
That's the crazy thing about the back.
Right. Paingameplan.com.
Yeah, go check it out for anybody dealing with it. Again, try to, like, just change the way that, like, we have these conversations, empower people to go. You steer the ship, right? Like, again, no dumb questions. Get your doctor, your care team. Find out the options out there.
We have Alex Smith with us live in studio. So when you were taken number one overall, did anyone prank phone call you?
Like, no, man. Like, thankfully, from a technology standpoint, like, it's still, like, flip phones. I didn't even have social media. I was, like, before MySpace. No. God, no.
What is it like? Because obviously Cam Ward's dealing with it.
Yep.
The pressures of not just being picked in the first round, but being picked with, hey, you're the number one guy. You're a franchise quarterback. What advice would you give to Cam and really anyone else who comes in the league facing that kind of pressure?
Yeah, like, this is funny. This time of year, you know, being the number one pick, it was 20 years ago, right? This
time flies,
half a lifetime.
Man.
Half a lifetime ago for me, and it changed my life. Like, listen, I was playing in the Mountain West at Utah, a 20-year-old kid. I came out here to New York at the Javits Center, you know, and again, you're on, like, commissioner calls your name. All of a sudden, you're on the cover of every newspaper in the country. Like, I never expected that. You're not prepared for that. And certainly I wasn't at that point. I think the thing that I look at, the expectations haven't changed. Like, what Cam's facing is, I mean, yeah, it's there.
Right.
He's so much more prepared for this, though. Right. Like, he's been to three schools and done this. The college sport has been professionalized. Like, he's dealt with expectations. He's moved to a new school and city, dealt with expectations, and delivered and handled it. And he did it again, right? Like, his college career is longer because there's a marketplace at the college level. Like, these guys stay in school longer, right? Like, they have a better career.
They're making money.
Like, he's had a better career. Like, think about the level up he's gone. Think about Jaden Daniels. You play all that time at Arizona State. And then you decide to go to LSU, the SEC, and then you go deliver there, and then you're the two pick. Like, again, it's a much more natural progression for these guys that have had, they're a little older. Mm-hmm. Like, all these guys have had a much bigger career. I think they're more self-assured about who they are. And the other thing I think that is part of this, like, again, they've already been a professional athlete, essentially. Like, I went from, you were afraid to get a free sandwich in college. And back then, with the no rookie wage scale, like, I was the number one pick. I signed one of the biggest contracts
ever.
Like, certainly on the team, and like, there was even more weight. Now with the rookie wage scale and the way things work, it's a little more earned. Like, I just think it's a healthier situation. I think these guys are far more prepared. And I think Cam, like, there's a reason we've seen such phenomenal rookie play from quarterbacks, especially here in the last couple years. I think Cam's going to keep that going.
Right. Now, you mentioned something interesting that about how young you were, and some of these guys are older, but you're young, and it really is hard to play in the NFL.
Yes.
The speed is the stuff you have to learn, the complication of the game plans.
Yep.
And a lot of kids crash out of it. But you're so unique because you're one of the few that felt like you were crashing out, but then you made it.
Yeah.
Why was it different for you than most?
I think one thing is, I think it's unique, and I'm really grateful for this, that like that Sam Fran was patient with me. Mm. They easily...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
They could have shipped me off. Look here in New York. You don't have to look much further.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? Like,
he's
they shipped off a guy that's pretty talented. You look at Cleveland. Like, Baker Mayfield. Did he not show what he was about? And they shipped him off. Like, I think easily the Niners could have done that. And they gave me another try. Mm. And that's rare. That, like, think about how rare that is. There's not many organizations that are patient, especially with a number one overall pick. And it was... you know, it was dysfunctional there, like, and myself included,
right?
And but they stuck with me and gave me another chance to finally turn it around.
The thing I wonder about, and you sat for what, 4 or 5 weeks before you were thrown in there as a starting quarterback?
I played the fourth week, yeah.
The fourth week, all right? So you sat for a brief amount of time.
And then they traded him, though. They traded the only quarterback that actually had any experience, Tim Rattay. They shipped him off at the same time, which like baffling.
Would it have been better for
that
you?
Really makes no sense.
Would it have been better for you to sit an entire season?
Yes.
Obviously, you're on the other end of it with Mahomes, and now the Giants are thinking of doing it with Jackson Dart. It would have benefited you to sit.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
There's not a one size fits all thing, and I don't want to say that. Like this isn't. Again, I was 20. I played in the spread option in college. I played every snap in the shotgun. And it was still a day where that was seen as gimmicky, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I had to ask permission to get in the shotgun on third down, like in the NFL. And all of a sudden, I started playing with a fullback and a tight end. Like, it was such a drastic difference in style of play, which that's also changed, right? Like, we've seen the college game come in now. I remember, listen, I ran for 1,000 yards in college. I didn't have a single designed QB run until year 7. Jim Harbaugh had to finally come in. It was year 7 when I had a designed run drawn up for me. Like I felt there was a stigma around me being a pro quarterback.
Right.
Like I had to become this. So I felt like I had to be something different than myself. So I definitely needed to sit. Like I for sure. Again, I was 20.
Right.
Yes.
Now some of these guys that have come in now
and like, yeah, you're 23, 24. The game looks similar now to college. Like they could come in and use their skill set right away. Which is better. By the way, it's so much better now.
Right. You said it's not one size fits all. Do you think Mahomes would have been ready to play right away?
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Really?
Now, and this is the crux. Like, if you're an organization and you're taking somebody early, especially us, we traded up to go get him, why would you risk it? Mm. Right. Like, why? There's a gamble by just throwing a kid out there.
Sure.
Like, you can get work. You can develop bad habits. You can develop scar tissue. You can get hit upside the head and make mistakes and dig yourself a hole. And we talked about expectations, but like I did that. Like, let me tell you this: every guy that's drafted in the first round, this word "bust" like haunts you, right? Like you don't, that's not what you want, right? Mm-hmm. It's your name. Like, again, like this is for you. And so, if you dig yourself a hole, it only mounts. Mm. And again, we've seen it here in this city. Like, roll a guy out there early and like, hey, cross your fingers, and we're just going to hope for the best. Like, why wouldn't you develop a plan? Like, look at what happened in Green Bay too. Could Patrick have played? Yes. But like, why risk it? Look at they're reaping the rewards of this. Like, yeah, again, to develop about him. Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers before that. Like, I mean, they've had 40 years of sound franchise quarterback play.
I didn't think about it when you said that.
Just doing it diligently as opposed to like, why would you just flip a coin? Especially you're spending all this draft capital on a guy. I just don't, the risk reward isn't there. So like, why wouldn't you do everything in your power to ensure that you made this investment in a young kid, that when he does step on the field, I'm going to make sure that the pieces around him are in place and that he is far enough along that it gives him the best chance at success.
Right. One of the things that I think is important, and I've said this every time we talk about young quarterbacks getting drafted, is it matters where they go. It matters the circumstance that they go into. And what I mean specifically is offensive coordinator and quarterback coach who's developing that kid. Because if you go somewhere where it's not set, the kid's ruined. He doesn't really have a chance. Now, you had some really good coordinators over the years.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jim Harbaugh, who you talked about. But once you went to Kansas City with Andy Reid, Matt Nagy was there. Doug Peterson was there. Then when you were in Washington, Kevin O'Connell was there. It's like all these names, when you go look at your history, there were these, like the minds that are leading the best teams in football. Talk about how important that is, and tell me specifically, because here in New York, we have Mike Kafka, who you know.
I was with him.
Quality control for a year when you were in Kansas City, and what his task is going to be with a Jackson Dart.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's what's special and unique about football, right? Like, take a manager in baseball. Like, how much impact does he have in a game? Like, I mean, he does like the starting lineup. And now with the DH, like, you don't even, there's not even a double switch anymore in the NL.
Isn't that a shame, Alex?
In basketball, like, it's 5-on-5. Like, if you get a dominant player, a dominant two players together, like, there's not a, like, don't get me, I'm not undermining.
Right.
But like in football, you come up with the system, right? The week-to-week game plan, and then you call every single play, right? Like, if you got a great play caller, which is a lot of art more than science, right? Like, he's just going to put you in great situations all the time, right? Because of his feel for the game. And, like, so he has such an impact on a quarterback's development, on his chances at success. Like, think about, this is the best thing about Andy Reid, in my opinion. Like, think about all the quarterbacks that have played for him. Mm-hmm. Going back to even Philly.
Right.
Like, the different, Donovan, there's such different skill sets. Yeah. Think about, like, Coy Detmer. And he had, like, all these different guys that, like, stepped in and played. And all the different skill sets, they look differently. The best thing about Andy Reid is, like, it's not a cookie cutter thing. Right? Like, his system, it's like, well, what do you do well? I'm going to put you out there in a position to succeed and tailor this offense to you. The offense, let me tell you, looks different with Patrick than it did with me. Right? And so that's the beauty of being with a great offensive mind and a great head coach is, again, like, them understanding football and putting their players in a good position. And so as a young quarterback coming in, and I'm a huge Jackson Dart fan. I think this is a great situation. I think Brian Daboll is like a phenomenal offensive mind. Right. And you mentioned Mike Kafka. I think he's right there with him. And I think he's going to be a head coach in this league. Now, their backs up are against the wall, right? Like, I hope they get themselves out of this and like some stability for a young quarterback for Jackson Dart, that he won't have to have a new system, right? Like,
because that's what that also kills you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had seven coordinators in my first 7 years, right? Like, it just is a recipe.
I don't think I realized that.
Yeah. You just never get to an advanced level of football. And I think for Jackson here to have guys in the room that have played, right, that he can learn from, he can watch how they prepare, how they handle a Monday after a tough game or a Wednesday practice, or like, you know, just all the little things on how to be a pro. And there won't be this rush necessarily to get him out there before he's ready.
Does it matter, and we're talking to Alex Smith, does it matter if he's the backup quarterback or the third string quarterback, or if he's getting third team reps or second team reps? Does that matter?
No, not in my opinion. I think in some ways you can learn from watching, right? Like, you can. And again, he'll get reps in camp and training camp and in the offseason. But once the season starts, like, it's different. Backup, you know, your scout team, third string, you're not getting a whole lot. You might mix in there a little, but you can still develop. And I think the biggest thing is to have a front row seat to the starter, right? Like, and especially here, like, you got guys that have played. And so you're going to get to see how they handle a work week, how they prepare, how early they're coming in, how are they handling pressures, how they handling the third down blitz package, right? Like red zone, like the compartmentalizing a game plan and all that goes into being
it's interesting you bring that up because it's you were in a unique situation again because they drafted essentially your replacement, Pat Mahomes.
Yes.
But the experience that I had with Eli when Kurt Warner came in, like he was just brought here to mentor Eli.
Yeah.
And it was difficult. And I feel, in a sense, maybe Jameis and Russell are that as well. So, like, that's challenging for a guy who has to go play.
For
like,
sure.
You're going to play because you know you're going to win 12 games. You're going to get in the postseason.
Yeah.
And Kansas City's going to make a run. And, at some point they're going to move on to Pat Mahomes. But this is your team
right
now.
Yeah, it was. And
this doesn't feel like that with this Giants. Like, it's an in-waiting situation.
I think communication's key in this. Like, you hit the nail on the head. Like, I knew that was my team that year.
Yeah.
Like, that made abundantly clear to me by Andy Reid. Right? Like, there were no surprises. I knew that. And I think the thing that then I know that there is some similarities, especially to Russ, is like, listen, that was year 13 for me. The reality is that I had a chance to show that I could play winning football in the NFL. Right? Like, that I'm a starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not Patrick was there, like, didn't change that. Like, if I didn't play winning football, guess what? Like, I was going to be gone the next year anyway, right? They would find somebody else. And that's the reality of where Russ is at, I think, right? Like, still proving that, like, he's a guy, that he's one of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. And whether it's in New York or somewhere else, like, he's playing for that. And I think if he's looking over his shoulder, he won't play to his full ability. And I think that's what hit me, right? Like, Russ's potential and where he's going in his career has and Jackson Dart, like those two things don't conflict,
right?
Like Jackson's trying to reach his potential, Russ, you're trying to reach yours still and play to your best of your ability. Like those things don't conflict as much as the media is going to try and create that.
Well, in your case, you're the quarterback of a team that's been in the postseason. You're relatively young. You're like 32 years old. It's not like you're 42 years old. Did they catch you off guard when they drafted Mahomes, or did they kind of give you a heads up of, hey, we may be drafting your replacement?
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it was a possibility. Right? Like, no certainties in the draft. You didn't know it was how it was going to play out, but I knew they loved Patrick. I knew potentially we were going to move up and get him, but it does hurt. Like, you're thinking, like, again, we were a really good football team at that point. We'd won the division a bunch of years in a row. I'm going to Pro Bowls, and you're like, man, we could have got a receiver.
Right.
You know, like, we could have got a playmaker, you know? And so I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, but I think at some point you got to move forward, and that was the reality for me, that like I still had the keys to the car, so to speak, and like I'm looking over my shoulder, man, I'm distracted already, and I don't have a chance.
Right.
Yeah.
Which team do you identify most with at the end of the day?
I mean, I'm fortunate enough. I played for three great organizations, but like, listen, I played eight years.
It's not the last.
I know. I played 8 years with the Niners, you know, and it's still home. I live there. I married a barrier girl. Like,
So it's
special to my. Like, then I had the five best years of my career were in Kansas City, and that regime's still there, right? Like, I still, that and I got so many friends on that coaching staff and still in that locker room. So, you know, special there. So, yeah, it's tough, but in some ways, fortunate. I got two, three.
You mentioned you like Jackson Dart. What do you like about Jackson Dart?
For one, I mean, I like from afar, the skill set, right? Like, again, I think he's got the build. Like, this guy can make all the throws. He's got a big time arm. I think physically he can do some things with his legs, which I think you have to be able to do. I think it gives you a big leg up at the NFL level. But the processing, I think playing for Lane, I think that's a good – I mean, this guy knows offensive football, right? He's had to process and deal with that stuff. And in the SEC, it's basically as close as you're going to get to the NFL and has done it. And I've gotten to know him a little bit. Listen, he's a Salt Lake kid. His dad went to University of Utah. Unfortunately, for some reason, he didn't go there. But again, I think he's got the makeup. I think he's a humble kid. I think he's like really respectful. I think he's ready for this. I think he's going to come in with the right mindset, you know, to go to work and get better. He's not a finished product, but he's got a big ceiling.
And he's got beautiful hair too.
He's got nice flow.
Can't leave that out.
Nice.
What are you
flow.
Talking about? I got beautiful hair. Yeah.
Alex, we appreciate you coming in.
Yes.
Very cool. Tell us again what you're doing with Vertex Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, again, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, just, you know, changing the narrative around anybody dealing with pain. Again, advocating this is something, again, that is universal, but obviously very personal to whoever's going through it. And, you know, listen, go talk to your doctor, talk to your care team about developing a game plan for you, right? Specific for you. There are more options than you think. For anybody that needs resources, there's a website. paingameplan.com. There's a bunch of stuff on there, right? Like go ask your doctor about all the options, even non-opiate options. There's more out there than you think. Again, it doesn't have to be this way.
Excellent. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Alex.
Alex Smith joining us. When we come back, we'll get into that Fugazi Yankee kerfuffle from last night, plus more of your Knicks calls at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. One thing I want to address. Last night, I had a wonderful night despite the Met loss with Sean Morash and a few of our coworkers here at WFAN, Rosie and Rami. But while we were at the Met game, Sean says to me, "Yo, there was a brawl in the Yankees game." And I'm like, yo, I can't wait to see Yankees Orioles. This is so on brand. I can't wait to see what instigated a quote-unquote brawl. So I go home, and you guys have probably seen it. Haston Kierstead is stealing second base. The throw is high. And Pablo Reyes, the immortal Pablo Reyes, goes up to make the catch and makes contact with Kierstead as he's coming down. The most innocent play in the history of baseball. And yet Kierstead gets very offended. And then all he does with his beautiful blonde hair is jaw with Pablo Reyes. All the guys from the bullpen jog out like they're doing a damn thing. They ain't doing anything. And the whole while I was disgusted by Kierstead. Because I'm like, why are you such a baby? That was my understanding. And I got to hand it to the radio voice of the New York Yankees, the great Dave Sims. Because I thought his call last night perfectly represented how I felt watching the Kierstead-Reyes kerfuffle. So, ladies and gentlemen, we present to you Dave Sims describing and being disgusted with what happened last night.
Well, now we have a little problem on the second base.
There's no need for any kind of beef in here. Come on. That's ridiculous.
Both dugouts are emptying. Now the guy's coming in from the bullpen.
Oh, boy.
A lot of standing around.
Grab a friend and a little do-si-do, huh?
He
landed. He went up in the air. It wasn't intentional coming down to hurt the guy. So crying out loud. He got up in the air to knock the ball down.
I'm with you, Dave. Like, there's nothing Pablo Reyes could have done other than levitate that would have caused him to not make contact with Heston Kierstead.
There's a little force called gravity.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of makes that happen.
I mean, it was the most ridiculous whining and complaining I've ever seen. And then I did think back to last year. Kierstead got drilled by a pitch. And so my only thinking is Kierstead is still pissed off at the Yankees for what happened in an unrelated incident a year ago. Mm. And so it's in his head that, I hate the Yankees. They're out to do something. And that's the only thing I can think of on why that innocent incident led to anything.
Now, you're probably right about it. It's in his mind, he had it already, played out. As soon as something happens, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And so, it was stupid. And by the way, they didn't even fight. It wasn't a brawl.
That's the problem.
They just stood around looking at each other.
And then on the TV broadcast, rightfully so, you hear David Cohn and Paul O'Neill reminiscing about 1998. Yeah. Well, 1996, because that's when men were men. When Graham Lloyd and Darryl Strawberry are coming out, and there's a fist fight, and Tino Martinez is pissed off. Like, that's what I thought we were seeing. Instead, I saw a giant baby named Kierstead being like, "Oh my God, how come you jumped in the air and came down? I don't know."
Are we that sensitive?
We really are. Are we that? Dave is so right. And you can hear the disgust in his voice. Like, really? This is what we're doing?
Are we that sensitive?
Like, I got to waste my time talking about this.
I mean, come on.
I got to describe this.
It's a colossal waste of time.
Remember, it was your boy, Clay Holmes, that drilled Kierstead in the head last year.
Okay.
And that caused the benches clear. So I think he's got a little Yankee sensitivity.
Clay Holmes is on the Mets now.
Right. Clay's not even there anymore. And I get that last year there was a thing with him. I understand it. But that doesn't mean if you get looked at the wrong way, there's some kind of evil, I'm thinking of the word, precisions? No, that's not the word. Malfeasions. That's what I'm thinking of. There's none of that. What a giant baby. Anyhow, let's go down to Randy in Orlando. What's up, Randy?
That was the right word, Sean.
I'm still confused. I never heard it before in my life.
I use the big word. Sometimes it happens. Right. What's up, Randy?
Randy, what's up, dude? He's not there.
All right, Randy. Sorry about that. Let's go to Joe in Queens. How are you, Joe? Hello, Joe. All right. We farted out, both guys. Yes. By the way, I do want to clean this up. I've been writing this down for 4 days, and I haven't gotten to it.
our January 6th predictions on who the Giants would take in the NFL draft.
Oh, yes.
Like, we need to see what we said and if we were right about it. I always write down these predictions. I got so many over the next couple of years that we will have, that we will check in on. But this was all the way back in January. It was right as the season was ending. I asked everybody, what are the Giants going to do at number 3? So, Tommy, who do you want to start off with?
Let's start off with, why don't we start off with you, Evan Roberts?
Start with me.
Because he was so braggadocious about this one. Here's Evan Roberts' prediction for the Giants' first-round pick.
I say it's an absolute lock. It is Shedeur Sanders.
Absolute lock.
Mm. Absolute lock.
By the way, he got banned from the show because of that. That prediction, which he wouldn't stop saying over and over and over and over again, got Evan Roberts banned. Okay. Put in detention. You weren't banned.
I wasn't banned.
You got put in detention for an hour.
I lost an hour of the show. What you don't have
specifically
in the...
after the draft, by the way,
right,
so that we didn't have to talk to you about it.
Yeah, well, at least I was consistent about it for 4 months. That's for sure.
That's
what I remember saying, I don't think it was January 6th, but maybe a few weeks later, was Shedeur. This just shows you how much changed between January and now.
Mm-hmm.
That Shedeur was going to force his way to the Giants.
Yeah,
that he was going to refuse to play for the Titans or the Browns,
right,
and he was going to force it because it was 21 years since Eli Manning in 04, which had been 21 years since John Elway in 83, and so that there was perfect symmetry that Shedeur Sanders was going to force his way to the Giants.
Right.
So not only did the Giants not take him at 3. Nobody picked him for like 110 picks.
That might have been part of the reason why teams didn't want to pick him.
And because they thought he was going
to
do
that? And it wasn't
that?
Just him. It was his agent, his
right,
dad, saying the same things.
Yeah.
Like, he was on like the talk show host circuit.
He would allude to it. He wouldn't say, I'm going to force my son somewhere, but he would allude to the idea that that's something they could do.
Right. And... but you don't have to throw much innuendo at these teams to understand what they're hearing when you say those things.
No, you're right. I thought the same thing. And meanwhile, he didn't need to force his way anywhere. He ends up getting picked in the 5th round, wherever it was. All right, so I was wrong. I said Shedeur Sanders. I was wrong. Who do we want to check in on next?
All right, let's go with Loogie next. So I will say Shedeur Sanders will be drafted by the Giants.
So you followed me. You basically said, Evan, you're right, sir. Let's go Shedeur Sanders.
I should have stuck with Jackson Dart. I had you convince me it was Shedeur because you said it's an absolute lock.
Well, you don't
convince
me. That was my opinion.
But you were so convincing in your opinion.
I really believe that. I really believed it for months. To be honest with you, I think when we got to the final few weeks, there was just so much hot air and smoke about him dropping that it was tough not to believe it. But obviously, it turned out to be true. He dropped incredibly far. Who should we check in next? Let's check Sean Morash next.
Right,
who
go.
Do you have?
I'm with Evan. I think they end up taking Shedeur Sanders.
What is
I think they like
the
him
people.
Better.
They may. I think Cam is to the Titans. I think that's going to be a lock, number one.
Oh, so you got that part right, at least.
Yeah, which is why, I purposely kept that in there as we're, swinging
you
and missing
here. You purposely kept that in there?
Well,
why? To show that you got the obvious thing right?
I just want to make one thing clear. You said this was, we did this in early January.
January 6th. To be the, that's at least what I wrote down as the
Look,
date.
This
yeah.
is the sheet of honor. This is the sheet of integrity. There's a reason we're doing this, to be held accountable. But
of course.
But just remember, in early January, there was a wild assumption that Cam Ward and Abdul Carter were going 1 and 2, which is exactly why I did not say Abdul Carter and I said Shedeur Sanders.
Well, I think the reason you probably said Shedeur Sanders, though, is because at that moment, we were all set on the Giants taking a quarterback at 3.
For sure.
Or 2 if they had moved up, or 1 if they had moved up. So that's the reason. I don't think it was projecting who's going to go 1 and 2. It was more, that was the mindset we had back in January.
Yeah.
It had to be.
I don't think I had that mindset.
Do you remember who you said on January 6th?
I'm sure I said, I want Travis Hunter.
Well, let's find out what Tiki Barber said on January 6th.
Best player in the draft, Travis Hunter.
Wow, you did. And you said that the night of the draft, too.
I did.
You stuck with Travis
and
Hunter.
He was the best player in the draft, which is why the Jacksonville Jaguars, in an aggressive move, traded with the Cleveland Browns and went and took him.
And on that note, Tiki, you should actually take a couple bows. Because we sat at American Dream a week ago, and everybody sat there and went, Browns, Travis Hunter, Browns, Travis Hunter. Now, you may not have been right about Travis Hunter slotting the Giants, but you were right that the Browns were not taking Travis Hunter second
right.
overall.
I just had a feeling that that's not what their thought process
you
was.
You kind of get like a half a victory.
Right.
You're right, because...
But I also said on that day that my ideal situation
right.
would be Travis Hunter. That couldn't happen. Obviously, you get Abdul Carter, then trade back in and get Jackson Dart.
Right.
That's exactly what happened.
You thought Abdul Carter would go two. The Giants would get Travis Hunter at three. Where you were right was the whole time is that Cleveland wasn't taking Travis Hunter.
Right.
That it was some other team, in this case the Jacksonville Jaguars, trading up to get him.
Yeah.
So here's what I also
And the Jacksonville Jaguars, by the way, I think are the perfect team for him because as a new regime and a young regime, as a head coach and as a general manager, they're going to let him do whatever he wants.
Oh, I know. That's what he wanted.
And that's exactly what he wanted.
He wanted that opportunity to do both. So here's what I learned from checking back our January predictions. We're all wrong. We all take L's.
Right.
I mean, we all got it wrong. Which shows you how much can change over that four-month period of time.
And this is the top of the draft.
No,
it's not like we're talking, hey, what about pick 12?
No. This is, hey, they're picking third. What are they going to do? And, yeah, no one really felt Abdul Carter till the final month. I think that final month leading into the draft is when it became, quote-unquote, obvious
that it was going to be Carter. What we also don't know about Abdul Carter is the foot issue that may have required surgery at some point.
Oh, that's a good point. Early January, we still thought that.
Yeah, we thought that. And now I think we've learned subsequently that he's not going to require surgery.
Yeah,
he still has this issue in his foot.
Remember, he went back to the Combine for that weird check before visiting the Giants, and then he was cleared medically then.
Right.
That wasn't the reason we were picking him at three, though.
No. I'm not
that
saying
that. That was certainly a factor.
No. I'm just saying it kind of went away.
Yeah. Oh, no, it definitely went away. But I think, like, not with you, because you had Travis Hunter the entire time. But with Sean, with me, and with Tommy, and I think with a lot of Giant fans, was they're taking a quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what changed over the next 4 months was they signed Jameis Winston. They signed Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And even though we didn't expect Shador to drop to the fifth round, it was certainly a sentiment that he was dropping.
Yep.
And so then it became, and I think, Sean, you were the first one I heard say this, hey, there's a chance they're going to go best available at three and then trade back into the first round. And I think the name you had mentioned at first was Shador Sanders, which they could have done. But the idea of, hey, go get the best available player and then go get the young quarterback by trading back into the back of the first round. You know what this exercise proves? I'm telling you, and Sean ain't going to like it, but Tiki will.
Mm-hmm.
What this exercise proves is that during the course of the regular season, stop with the tanking, stop with the draft picks, stop with the we're going to do this, we're going to do that.
You can't.
January, the season's over, and we were all completely wrong about what was going to happen.
Evan, this is a big TBD, and I am very optimistic, as most Giant fans are. But you're not telling me in 2030 there's a chance we look back and Cam Ward's one of the five best quarterbacks in football and the Giants are again dipping back into the pot to take a quarterback?
Then
wouldn't you look back and go, you know what, they should have lost that game to the Colts. Maybe Sean was right about the tanking?
No, my point is, though, you don't know even 6 months out what the top of a draft board's going
to
look
but
like.
But I also think that you would have had to work really hard to out-tank the Titans.
No, you just think about that sentence. You're right.
I'm just saying.
Oh, and I'll do you one more favor. I'm going to save everybody a lot of time because old Uncle Shawnee went back and did a little research too, Evan. You like this research?
Yeah, I love research. Yeah.
This week I went back and I looked at, what did the way too early mock drafts after last year's draft say about the draft that just passed?
Okay.
Because people might want to do that now. Oh, who's coming out next year?
I like that. What'd they say?
Okay. The consensus for the people doing this, Abdul Carter was listed as a pick in the 20s.
Really?
And Travis Hunter was listed between picks 11, 12, and 13. And the most likely first overall pick was Carson Beck, who didn't even come out this year and has now since transferred to Miami.
Wow.
So do yourself a favor.
And broke up with the Kavanaugh twin.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Don't, now if you're still feeling that draft stuff, who are we going to get next year? Mm. Don't waste your time.
Travis Hunter, you have to give him credit because he had one of the most outstanding seasons, senior seasons you could ever hope for. One, receiving, whatever, had 1,400 yards receiving. He was one of the top two or three cornerbacks in college football. And then he won the Heisman.
Mm.
So he got elevated because of merit. Like, he did it on the field.
He did.
Oh, you're right. I guess so. It still proves my point. All that did was prove my point that you got to stop caring about draft boards when you're in the middle of December.
I agree with you.
No, but hold on a second, though.
What?
Cam Ward, based on this draft, is going to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. Everybody else basically fell. He was the number one overall pick. And Dart was the only other pick in the first round. So, if anything, this year was the year to tank and be the number one overall pick because it was Cam Ward and everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I think you're partly right about that. But all these quarterbacks were flawed in some capacity. It's just Cam Ward had the best offseason.
No, right, but no, that's the key, Teague. So, again, go back to December or when we're having this conversation in January, because you cut when you said you thought Ward was going to go number one. We didn't know. There was a debate between right. Shador and Cam. I remember you specifically saying, I don't even care which quarterback it is, get me one of the two.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Tiki nailed what he just said, which is the offseason changed that to where Cam became the obvious number one. He wasn't the obvious number one right. in December.
He became number one right. because the seriousness with which he took this process of coming into the NFL. Whereas Shador was, hey, let's rap. You know, you got a song. Let's do this.
Right.
And social media and blah, blah, blah. Cam was like, I'm going to be a great quarterback.
And that wasn't evident.
That's all I want to be.
That wasn't evident on January 6th when we made these predictions.
Oh, you're right.
And even in December when you talked openly about, hey, I prefer we lose. But you even said, just get me one of the two quarterbacks. Well,
yeah.
One of the quarterbacks of the two you mentioned went number one overall, could be generational. The other one who you said, just get me, he went in the fifth round.
No, dude, listen.
So that's everything you guys are saying just proves that point that, look, we're all going to have to battle. Because come December, if both teams suck, we're going to end up doing the same yeah. thing. We're going to think about the draft. Let this be a reminder that we shouldn't.
But the thing we have to remember now, too, Evan, and this is where I'll admit I'm wrong, is we all know Jackson Dart's going to be the best quarterback that comes out of this draft. The Giants have set up a long-term success. There's no such thing as losing this week. We've hit this home run. Let's go.
Love his optimism. I'll tell you how he handled himself at Citi Field last night. It was embarrassing. We'll get to that, plus your calls. Met fans, after this game is over, we'll recap everything you saw out at Citi Field last night, today. The Yankees get an off day, more on their series loss to the Orioles. And Knicks fans, you may be negative, but positive Evie is here to remind you that tonight in Detroit, you close them out. We'll talk more about that coming up, too, at 888-808-1019.